been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DeBose, CPA. Dan, are you out there? You've connected?
I'm here. Good morning.
Very good. It's a good morning for you. It's a good evening for me over here. And unfortunately, as I was just explaining to our producer, we had a bad week here in Thailand with what I can recall is the first school shooting / knifing that occurred. I'm sure many of you in America have read the story. First time that's happened over here. We had a mall shooting a few years ago, and that's, I guess, the first time. And just so sad, you know, little 2 to 3 year old kids already down for nap time. Most of them were asleep, but prayers are with those parents. I don't know how they can cope with that. But let's talk syndication math this week. For those of you that may have just gotten in your car to drive over to 11200 Westheimer, if it were during the week, you might be coming to see us at the office. We office right there in the same building as the workshop that you're attending. We're down on the first floor. Off to the right there as you're walking up. And our focus as a CPA practice is what you're going to learn about today. We are super interested in helping you understand how to analyze real estate private partnership syndications. And that is day two of your workshop. And how do I know that? Well, I took that class 20 years ago, 21 years ago, back in 2003, and elected, regardless of the cost at that point, which it's half what it was back then as it is now. So it's not your fault, but it's your problem. So if you want to join an old school travel agent like investor platform, and you've got the extra $20,000 laying around, I say go for it. There's good things and not so good things about that platform, but if you work with us, we will help you understand where you're getting the wool pulled over your eyes versus learning something of value. And we're going to talk about that here for the first half of the show, and then we're going to talk about a transaction that is typical of the transactions that you might look at from that platform, and explain who can invest in these types of transactions. We're going to explain some of the math. I'm going to make an offer to you if you want to learn more about this from somebody that's not trying to sell you a membership. Be happy to help you with that, and it'll be convenient because it's right there in the same building. You can come back at some point here in the near future, and we will show you how to analyze these transactions so that it becomes less of an emotional decision. And what does it boil down to, Dan? What are we focused on in every case here?
Numbers.
That's right, the math. We like the math. Were you a mathematician in school, Dan? Did you do well in those classes in college there at Lamar University?
I actually did. It's one of my favorite classes. I had a good teacher at home. My daddy was quite good at teaching me what I didn't understand in the algebra class, and it made me like it.
Oh, okay. That was about the only one I did understand. I'll never forget my ninth grade algebra teacher, Mr. Orr. And Mr. Orr had two expressions that I will never forget. remember them to this day. I've used a cup. Well, I've used both of them at times. I don't think I've ever hurled them your way, Dan. Your time's coming. And Mr. Orr was at times frustrated that seemingly his good instruction was not something we young lads and lasses could retain. And he would always say, when he would ask the question that he had already asked maybe a day or two earlier and nobody could give him the answer, he said two things. His number one was, you know, it's not illegal to remember from one day to the next. Never has been, never's going to be. Why don't you try it? And then he would say, well, I guess we need to get on the phone and call Pythagoras, even for non-Pythagorean theorem questions. Anyway, I'm sure Mr. Orr has long passed on, but what a marvelous teacher. And he really inspired us I liked algebra. I didn't get far past algebra, but that one I handled pretty well. But anyway, so Dan, let's finish off our disclaimer. I heard a disclaimer as I was sitting waiting to come on that KSEV is not responsible for the comments made on the show today. That is a true statement. And furthermore, we're not responsible if you run out after hearing us talk today and you're all juiced up and motivated to go join that preferred investor group at that travel agent platform, and you're raring to go, and you hear us talk about how to make an extra $25 million over the next 30 years. If you just do one little thing differently than what you're going to hear, and maybe you've got $350,000 or so in a retirement account, we're going to show you how, by not doing one little step, you will achieve that throughput if you keep it invested in deals that will generate 20% a year, which that's what I hear them say. They say between 10 and 30%. I've been around that group since 2003, as I mentioned, and so I've seen it, experienced it, and not in every case, certainly. And that's part of the sales job is, you know, 50% of what you're going to hear today is true. The rest of it's conjecture or hyperbole. And the problem is you don't know which half is which because you haven't been around it. You're not aware of the, quote, stories that get told that only recently became stories. They weren't stories back when I joined, so I know they're not true. But that's okay. You got to take the good with the bad, and the good is that the real estate private partnership syndication space with multifamily assets is still generating significant returns. And I would tell you that if you've got at least $100,000 in capital, you should be focused at that level. Forget the single family market where it's going to take $30,000 out of pocket these days to buy a home. That's I'm not saying you can't make money in single family. If you enjoy having to, you know, drive the wagon and coordinate and deal with property manager or yourself dealing with it and potentially having to get out of bed every morning to go run it or run them if you got more than one, how about you take a look at the private partnership option where you invest passively and you're not forced to go find it, get it financed, operate it, refinance it, sell it, et cetera. Communicate with your partners, which is akin at times to herding cats, I think is the expression that would apply. And the passive investment route is something that I think most people, not all people, but most people should consider. I do think there's folks that are cut out to be lead partners or syndicators, and thankfully there's just enough greed left in that model deployed by that mentor group that there's some younger folks typically that are raring to go get out of bed every morning and go run those old Class C apartment buildings. But the large percentage of people that join that group are joining to be passive investors. Here's my money. Send me a check or send me checks. And, of course, you've got to understand what the timeline is. Every one of the transactions you're going to look at is a little bit different. So Before we dive in a little bit further on this topic, I just want to mention that if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show with myself, Nathan Ross, CPA. I've got my associate, Dan Dubose, CPA, on the line. And if you want to ask a question today or give us a comment about an issue you might want to hear on the air, or you want to ask us anything else for that matter, send me a text to 713-581-0195. That's 713-581-0195. Or send an email to info@npross.com. NP Ross is alphabetically. It's November, Papa, Romeo, Oscar, Singapore, Singapore. com. And I'll keep an eye on my text system here, and we'll try to address it if it makes sense to do so during the show. So let's talk investments just generally, and I'm going to try to give you a little more detail than you may hear today, because what I've learned with salespeople, non-accountants, of course, is that they're looking to dispense the low-hanging fruit, whatever the least amount of effort is that gets you to take action and invest the 20 grand. You notice I said invest, not spend. I'm talking like a congressman now. You know, nobody spends anymore, right? Right, Dan? They invest. And it's an odd term that I've struggled to get my – It's kind of like, and I may be stepping on toes here, it's kind of like Enron. You know, they used to book revenues. They used the credit to book revenues instead of liabilities. You remember that back in the day?
Yeah,
that's a big difference, by the way that plays out on your stock price. But in any event, I want you to understand that you've got other options. And to do that, I'm going to have to tell you, as one of my associates was fond of saying, Nathan, when I ask you what time it is, don't tell me how to build a clock. Just tell me the time. The problem with that is that time is wrong potentially twice a day. So you've got to understand how a clock works, what makes it, I hate to use this term, what makes it tick, right? Pun intended. And so bottom line is, you need to understand that there are two camps of investors under the SEC investor rules or crowdfunding statute, Rule 5. There are accredited investors and non-accredited. And the deals that a non-accredited can invest in are somewhat limited compared to those that an accredited can invest in. What are the difference in those two? The differences are that the accredited has at least $1 million, $1 million liquid, or not necessarily liquid, but net worth, not counting your residence, your personal residence. And the non-accredited is obviously anybody that's got less than $1 million in net worth, except if your earnings are high enough, if you're married, you jointly earn $300,000 a year, you'll be considered accredited. Or if you consider it on a single basis, it's $200,000. And so if you're that, you've earned that level for 3 years, you anticipate doing it again this year, then you're accredited. And then there's a couple of other categories, like if you happen to be a licensed securities representative or you work for a registered investment advisor, there's some pockets there that you can achieve accredited investor status. So for non-accrediteds that want to invest, you've still got some work to do. It's not just because you've got money to invest. You need to be considered a sophisticated investor, which involves several possibilities. If you work with a financial person, such as a CPA, attorney, etc., like if you worked with us, then you're deemed to have sophisticated status because we understand how to advise you on these transactions, even though you may not. So if you want to work with us for no other reason but to become sophisticated, that's certainly an option. Now, likewise, if you join the platform that you're going over to take the second day training with today, then you will gain the educational level in these real estate private partnerships to where you would also, theoretically, you would be considered sophisticated, although, you know, I question at times just what level of sophistication that watching videos will get you. So we like to go far deeper into the numbers, as you're going to see today, after we do our we'll do a break here at the bottom or halfway through the hour, I guess the bottom of the hour. And so in any event, you've got 506B and 506C transactions that divides the ones that the accrediteds can invest in. Unlimited number of accrediteds can invest in a 506C. A limit of 35 non-accrediteds can invest in the 506B, along with an unlimited number of accredited investors. The biggest difference, and this is where your opportunities, if you are an accredited investor now, you really need to think long and hard about whether you want to go down this route that you're going to be exposed to today, where you pay a significant chunk of change to be part of a investor platform that only has 506B transactions, because the world is your oyster if you're accredited. There are various other platforms that you can go invest on because you're a qualified accredited investor. And something that you might want to ask today, if you're, you know, as you're sitting in class listening to whoever's teaching that class today, extol the merits of the morality and the righteousness, the I don't know, ethical offerings that they, that how they're much more ethical, moral, etc., than anybody else out there doing syndications, because they don't charge certain fees and they don't allow three chefs in the kitchen, you know, where it's a group of leaders leading a transaction. And all I'm going to suggest to you is, if you really want to watch or see a deer in the headlights look, raise your hand and ask who the most prolific investor slash mentor is in that organization's history, and then suggest that, well, I heard I can invest directly with him out on one of the big platforms. I'm not going to say which one. You can call me if you want to know which one. You don't need to pay $20,000 to anybody. You can go invest with that gentleman without paying anybody any fee, because the platforms out there in the real world, the non-travel agent platforms, it would be more like the Google Flights version of finding your ticket. Those guys don't charge you membership fees. They get their fees from the syndicator to put on a platform that people can invest through. And you might be shocked to learn about the fees and the other things that, you know, here internally, when they're trying to get you to join, they're telling you one thing about how pristine and pure they are. And yet their most prolific investor in the history, which he's a great guy, by the way. I like him. I would invest with him if I happened to catch the deal at the right spot. I know he's been interviewed by Self-Made Millionaire, who I'm sure you know who that is. And he refers to him as a billionaire investor, which is a little bit misleading. Is he an owner in a billion-dollar portfolio? Yeah, just like I am, okay? Is my net worth anywhere near a billion? No, it's not. But let's just say that a small piece of a big pie should not be portrayed as the big pie. And you're going to learn as you network and mill around amongst yourselves at case study nights, you're going to hear people say, oh, yeah, I'm an owner in 2000, or I own 2,000 units or 800 units or however many number of units. Don't be fooled by that. They're leaving off one little word. It's A-N. They are an owner in however many units they put out there. And it's just, it's too bad, because there's really some good things in this platform. But I guess I just want to get you a little bit exposed to some of the do as I say, not as I do talk. And again, if you want to see a real deer in the headlights look, if you're not worried because you may already be thinking about finding another way to invest in these partnerships, which I'm going to tell you there are many ways Raise your hand and ask that question. Say, you know, why wouldn't I just go out to another platform where I don't have to pay membership fees and invest with some of the same syndicators? At least I know of two that fit this camp that are well-respected members of that platform. So enough talk on that, Dan. Let's see. I was also wanting to mention that, you know, just because you join one of these platforms, you need to be careful. You need to flip over the piece of paper, the receipt that you're signing, and look at the terms under which you can be canceled. I refer to this platform at times as the Hotel California platform. Correct, Dan? Why do I do that?
You can be canceled at any time?
You can check it in, but you can't check it out, as one of my Vietnamese friends says. He's got a certain way of saying that. And I'm just telling you, it's for any reason. They don't like the weather today, and I'm telling you, some of the petty reasons aren't quite that extreme, but they're extremely petty. And I'm just telling you, you really got to ask yourself, is that what you want to be involved with? And I'm not telling you don't do it. I'm just telling you be aware, you know, have your eyes on the ball, and then you know, tune in to what we talk about each week if you want to understand how to analyze these transactions. And we wish you a lot of success however you go. There's no question that you're in the right spot if somehow you end up in these assets, these multifamily assets. Dan, I'm not sure I finished my disclaimer a moment ago. Before you go run and jump, be sure, talk to your current investors. You should always do that. And, I mean, I'm sorry, your current investment advisors, your legal advisor, your tax pro, you know, any of your, if you have any real estate mentors, always run what you hear on the air, whether it's my show or any other show out there. Let's make sure that someone that's aware of your specific facts and circumstances, who theoretically has your best interest at heart, agrees that what you heard is actually something that might fit. And if you don't have anybody that understands these transactions, doesn't understand the use of retirement money in these transactions to where you can use your money, control your money, just like they've talked about here on day one or yesterday on day one, and you don't have to quit your job, you don't have to get old like Dan and I. We're over 59 and a half, a lot in one of our cases. I'm not going to say who, but I think he knows. But in any event, you know, if you live in the great state of Texas and you're married, we can help you access your retirement funds regardless of whether you quit your job or you're over 59 and a half, which are the two ways that HR is going to know about. We'll show you how we can do that. Again, if you're a resident of the great state of Texas and you're married, and I would suggest happily so due to the way that we repartition your retirement assets. But in any event, we talk about that on our Saturday show, and we've got those shows are out on KSEV's podcast page, so you could go back in time. And if you want to go on our website, I've got the archive. We're getting ready to turn it or open it to the public, but if you want to go see episodes that actually have some tags so you can find topics, just go to the BAPlanner.com website. That's BEAPLANNER.com, and then put a /podcast, and you'll see it's kind of in progress, but the most recent shows are tagged, and you can find some of these topics that we talk about, and they are identified as to whether it's a Saturday tax mass show versus a Sunday syndication mass show. And while I'm on that topic, we are going to be making some changes to our shows. We're going to drop or reallocate resources from the Saturday slot. We're going to not be on Saturdays. We're solely going to focus on the Sunday show, and then we're going to add, I think it's four stations, Dallas, San Antonio, Phoenix and Atlanta are the four that we're targeting at first. So we're branching out, we're expanding the model, and collaterally we're going to start promoting another venture called CPAs Online that's going to include other CPAs around the country. And so that's all in progress. We're anxious to get that up and running here, like in the next several weeks, is what we're planning. And for those of you that have friends maybe in other parts of the country, of course, you can stream these shows these days, obviously. You don't have to be in any listing geographical area. But for those that are, they might want to slip a question in real time that we can address on the air. Tell you what, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to pivot to a specific transaction and show you when a great set of math may not be so great once you actually crunch some of the numbers. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Boy, we agree with Dolly. We've got big dreams, financial freedom, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll listen to us about what to do with your retirement money, which is not that one little thing that I told you you don't want to do, is cut a check to the IRS for $30,000 to $50,000 of your net worth, which is what the platform, Self-Made Millionaires platform, the one that you're heading over today to possibly take the second day of training, which is all about these real estate private partnership syndications, suggest you do. And again, you can control your money. invest it in real estate, and do whatever makes you happy. Just like you can if you cash it out and pay the IRS. The problem is you're talking about half the amount of happiness that you're going to experience. Isn't that about right, Dan? Depending on which state you're in and you factor in the state income tax plus the federal income tax. And it's crazy. It's a crazy amount of money that you're parting with. And they make it sound like it's so easy. Just go ahead. You're going to make it back. How about you make back twice as much? Wouldn't that be a better option if you qualify? You do need to qualify. We've talked about that on other shows. You can go search the archives. But in any event, as Red Adair used to say, the famous Houston oil well firefighting legend, he said, "You think the professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs." And again, $25 million is the difference between understanding what to do right now at this point before you run out and cash out those IRAs and cash out your 401s. And I don't care how many times you hear folks on those radio shows with that platform say that, boy, they manned up and they beat their chest. I learned there was a better way. It was to cash it out. They just don't understand how insane that advice is, and it makes them look weak, that they couldn't stand up against whoever was convincing them that you should cash that out. I'm just curious, Dan, if you had $500,000 and you were being told that you needed to send $200,000 of it to the IRS, wouldn't a radar or some kind of red light start flashing or go off, you know, thinking, is there not a better way? It seems like there's a better way. And you know, I know this is a foreign concept to most CPAs. That's the problem. Most CPAs don't understand the rules in the retirement area, and it's like a foreign language. And I'm shocked at times when I explain to them the minutiae on what your options are. But in any event, we've got about 20 minutes left. Dan, let's talk about this transaction that we had one of our clients send us this week, who will remain nameless. And just to kind of set it up, I'll kind of interview you here on some of the questions. How many units is this transaction, Dan, just to give it some scale here, some perspective?
250 units.
250? Is that what you said?
256, if you want to get specific.
256, and how much are we paying for it? That sounds like a big one.
$175,781 per unit, $45 million.
$45 million. And then we're going to spend some money fixing it up. Four areas out of 21 buildings that require some attention is what the syndicator has represented.
$2.5 million.
Say again.
$2.5 million fix up costs.
That could be. I didn't look at it as thoroughly as you did. That's why I'm going to interview you and not the reverse. Just curious. Let's see here. So we're spending, let's see, $4 million or so across 250 units. That doesn't sound like it's that heavy of a lift, actually. And I suppose that's why there's current year, you know, year one cash flow being projected. What is that number, Dan? Do you recall?
Cash flow year one?
Like 4.06%, something like that.
No, 4.2 cash on cash. Is that what you're talking?
Yeah, right. Cash on cash. That'd be the cash flow that I'm referring to. So it's going to hit the ground running somewhat, is what that tells me. And that's interesting on these types of transactions, I would suggest. It's not usually the case, but especially in today's times. When was this thing built? Maybe that's what I'm missing here. You recall?
It's about 40 years old, I think, something like that. It's not a brand, not new. It's quite old.
Well, then it must have been maintained well, it would sound like. How much, Dan, is the – let's talk about the debt for a moment. What kind of debt are we looking at? Did you
figure that out? We're looking at about a 50%, 51% loan. It's got a $2.7 million, $22 million loan on it at 5.75%.
Okay, not horrible.
Not horrible.
Yeah, not horrible. Let's see, what kind of cap rate are we looking at when we sell this thing? Did you notice that
level? 4.9% based on a loan to value.
Is that the conservative?
Yeah.
You know, we had two. Okay, so... in any event, you know, I don't know. That seems like that's a stretch. Just looking down the road, I mean, we're buying it at what cap rate? You remember? I can't remember
right at
what
the
it
was. Same amount, 4.95%.
Well, that's what I was afraid you were going to say. And so I don't know. I don't know how that's the conservative underwriting, if that's the case. And even if it's not, let's assume maybe this is the less conservative. You know, that's a tough, in my mind, that's a tough lift. The debt is interest only for 5 years. Loan term is 10. So that's positive, right? But a 51% LTV, Dan, that's tough. I mean, the interest rate isn't horrible. It's not wonderful either, 5.75%. But that LTV, that may be one of the lowest ones we've seen where there's actually a loan. Now, there's others where it's 100% or 0%, and the leads are saying, hey, we're going to go ahead and take this thing down with cash, and then we'll turn around and refinance it at the end of the first year, which there's no guarantees that will happen. But this debt package looks pretty sound. You know, interest only for 5 years, 10-year term, 30-year amortization, 5.75% interest. We're seeing deals now at 7% fixed, right, Dan?
Yes.
Yeah,
and I think
course,
that's the more reasonable number. This, maybe they're assuming a loan or something. Can you do that?
Well, I don't know. I think what's going on here at a 51% LTV, you as a lender, you can afford to have a lower rate, right? I mean, you've theoretically got considerable collateral, and on top of that, you've got some individual member balance sheets that will no doubt support the, you know, qualified non-recourse carve-outs, you know, the bad boy provisions, if that loan had to be paid off without due to some malfeasance. You know, that's what those qualified non-recourse type guarantees involve. It's not like a joint and several where, you know, for any reason, the guys that are personally guaranteeing that type of debt, that, you know, they can be sought by the lender to pay the loan off, either in its entirety or some negotiated amount. And that's something, just FYI, you listeners that are heading over to second day of training, if you're ever looking to participate in a transaction and you're going to own 0.008 or whatever it is of 1%, it's always going to be a low number on transactions like this. There is no way, no how that you should assume any kind of guarantee, whether it's joint and several, especially that one, or whether it's qualified non-recourse. I don't care how much they're offering to spice it up for you and give you some extra cash flow and exchange for doing that. When you're not controlling a transaction, do not fall prey to that. There is significant risk there. You're not going to hear about it on day two of the workshop today. I'm just telling you, as someone that lived through the 80s, and my better half here, Dan DuBose, can tell you, how rough it is or how rough it was back then when everybody used debt, nobody used equity. Well, boy, did that change after the mid-80s, right, Dan? All the deals after that, the developers got wise and used equity, all right? So, and some debt, but bottom line was they got enough capital in the deal up front. But so, Dan, let's see. We've got about 14 minutes left here. Let's talk about a couple of nuances that pop out on this deal. One thing is the amount of the lead promote. Did you notice how much that was, Dan?
20%.
That's right. So this means that this lead has done, I believe it would be three transactions on that platform, and that's why he's able to charge 20%. Now, if you go outside the relative safety net, I guess is what they would have you think of this travel agent old school platform, you're going to see promotes that are as high as 40%, in some cases scale to 50% once the syndicator or sponsor has returned a certain percentage of your capital. And so this is again, it's all relative. You know, you can talk about fees being bad, you can talk about 40% promotes being bad, but you got to look at it in context, because many of the sponsors that have a 40% promote are also giving you a preferential return where they're not getting anything on the promote that is their override until you've got your money back or until you've achieved a certain internal rate of return. And so if it's truly a preference and it's not one that they're saddling up next to you at the trough and eating out of the cash flow that starts in the first part of the transaction, well, then that has a different tenor, and there's nothing immoral or unrighteous or otherwise ill-advised necessarily about participating in a transaction where the lead or the sponsor is realigned the passive interest with that of their own. And I'm going to tell you, that's what we look for in every one of these transactions, because every one of these transactions, if you're putting $100,000 into it, let's just focus on that because the math is easier, your capital is being diluted. And if you don't know what that means, go look it up in the Webster Dictionary. Essentially, I'm going to put it in layman's terms, you're giving away part of your ownership interest compared to you putting $100,000 into buying a small apartment building on your own, where maybe you go buy an 8-unit property for, you know, 80 grand and put down, I don't know, $100,000 is probably a little bit low. But point is, you could take that property down with two or three other people in a similar position. And guess what? When you're not giving away 20% promotes or 2% asset management fees or 3% property management fees, all very righteous. I'm not saying that those aren't righteous fees, but when you look at the net impact of that as to how much money is actually working for you out of $100,000, it's maybe 70 to 75% on that platform that you're going to hear about today. And if you're outside that group, it's probably getting diluted down to the 50% level. But if the pie is bigger, a 50% dilution may still net you more than a smaller pie where you've only got a 25% dilution. And so that's what you have to look at. That's what we do. We look at the math. We try to help you understand the math. Our goal is to help you understand what you're signing up for. That's generally what we are trying to do on analyzing these private partnerships. And then beyond that, we're trying to deal with assorted tax opportunities for you, where we save your retirement money to invest those dollars that would have gone to the IRS. What? How much the IRS pay you, Dan, when you invest on that $350,000 401k that
it's still zero.
It's still zero. You send them that 95 grand or near 95, and you're going to sit a long time waiting to get any return on that money if you invested it with the IRS instead of another lead partner in another transaction where you're going to earn money the rest of your life, and you'll pay no tax until you take the money out, and then you're just going to pay a sliver. You're not going to pay tax on the whole thing. And then in between, you've got the ability, as you've got the resources, and as we can figure out the optimization, we can convert your pre-tax funds in a 401 or an IRA over to a Roth. And what does that get us, Dan?
Zero
a lot
taxes.
Of things. Well, zero taxes, lower Medicare premiums, potentially, you know, there's a number of things that we can throw in there. And the reality is, as you head into retirement, your tax rate is going to go up unless you do the Roth. And, you know, your tax rate goes up. That means that when you start taking the RMDs are getting exposed to a higher level of tax, because it's just math with the deficit that we're laboring under as a country. We run out of money by 2029 or 30. We will not have enough money. All the taxes that get collected will not be enough to pay the interest on the debt. Which, by the way, I believe the current number, Dan, is $1 trillion a year is being added to the outstanding deficit per year. Is that not still the number? It's a huge number. It's just hard to fathom the amount of interest. So, you know, we look at the Roth as a way to salvage a bad idea, which is the traditional 401 or IRA. It's still amazing that the American public fell for that hook, line, and sinker. And now as you get older and you're getting closer to retirement and you're realizing that, whoa, wait a minute, they told us back when we started putting money into this 401 that our tax level was going to be lower when we got into retirement, not higher. Well, that was what we were all thinking back in the day, back before we had $30+ trillion in deficits. The real deficit is at least $130 trillion if you added all the legislated increases in funding that has to happen at some point. And by the way, you know, before you believe any more of the baloney that's being peddled by Washington about how the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, what a joke. Dan, how much inflation has been reduced even contemplating that act? Forget about not having actually done much with it at this point, the Congress.
Well,
has it gone down?
8% or more.
Right? And how about the promise that $350 billion was going to be a down payment on deficit reduction? And then how much 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, did the president say he was going to forgive in student loan? What was the cost of that program? Just right, I mean, you know, right after they bragged about how much they were going to reduce the deficit, how much did that program add to the deficit, Dan?
Well, they said $500 billion, but it's going to be more like $1 trillion when it's all said and done if it comes down the way they're projected.
Well, they originally said it was only going to cost $3 something. It basically wiped out the down payment that they had promised. Well, now it's well past the down payment. So it's like I said before, Congress always talks about, they talk a good game. The reality is they're all about spending, not investing. It's spending. I don't care how you look at it, right? So anyway, Dan, so let's tie a little bow around this analysis, and I understand the people listening on the air don't have access to the spreadsheets that we've got, but basically what are the three ways in terms of the cash flows that an investor in this deal is going to get paid, and then what does that look like on an equity multiple where we can figure out, you know, we're comparing this to maybe four other transactions we're looking at, trying to get one that gives us the highest throughput. So do you have those numbers? I guess I've got that part of the discussion. But what are the three ways that we're going to get cash flows out of this deal, just generally?
So your annual cash flow from just your operations?
Right, and I would tell you,
projected to sell it in year, what, five, three, four, five?
Probably let's talk about the dollars on each one of these components. So you've got the operational, or what I call interim cash flow. It's where your revenues, your rental collections exceed your expenses. And then you've got depreciation being claimed, so that reduces those expenses out of pocket. And that's, in this transaction, that's projected conservatively, I believe, is the scenario, to be $7.384 million. So the second way is by refinancing, correct? The third way is going to be by selling. So on a refinance, well, actually, we did not consider a refinance. We presumed it was going to be sold in the fifth year. And so how much does that give us? You don't have the numbers. I'm sorry. So the sales proceeds, our share as a passive would be about $18 million, 18 and a half, out of the original passive partner investment capital that's returned. And that original investment amount was $26,335, about halfway towards the six thousand marks. So to call it $26,336. So we're going to get that money back at exit, and then we're going to get at least projected, targeted a capital gain of about $18 million. So if you're a passive and you put $100,000 in it, what we're looking at is figuring out, put $100 in, how much did we get out? And that gives us our equity multiple. And in this case, it's a 1.98% equity multiple. So you put $100,000 in, you're going to get right at $200 out. But that's over 5 years. That's not over our gold standard of, your money doubling every 3.6 years. So the equity multiple of 1.98, we would suggest, is 0.0329 per month. That's about 80% or 70% of what we think of as the gold standard, which is 0.0463. So I think what this deal summarizes here, we've only got a minute left, is that what you're seeing is a lower LTV or LTC, loan to cost, with a not cheap interest rate. It's not too horrible. But the bottom line here, the biggest risk on this whole analysis is that cap rate being projected at 4.9%. 5 years down the road. I don't see how this gets there, but in any event, any of you that want to learn more about how to analyze these deals, go to our website, fill out the intake forms. That's baplanner.com, top right, submit those intake forms, schedule a call, and Dan and I will be happy to talk to you about how we can help you meet your objectives. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next Saturday at 5 p.m. Central Time for more of the Be a Planner Show.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.